Well, last month, on the first day of the month, we did Proverbs 1. On the second day of the month, we did Proverbs 2. But we weren't here every day of the month. And now we've come to a point where we're just doing Wednesdays and Fridays. So what in the world are we going to do? Well, we're going to go back and pick up some of the ones from Proverbs that we didn't do last month. So stay with me. We are in Proverbs chapter 27 this morning. Proverbs 27. This is God's word. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Let another praise you, and not your own mouth. Someone else, and not your own lips. Stone is heavy, and sand a burden. But provocation by a fool is heavier than both. Anger is cruel and fury overwhelming. But who can stand before jealousy? Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. He who is full loathes honey, but to the hungry, even what is bitter tastes sweet. Like a bird that strays from its nest is a man who strays from his home. Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of one's friend springs from his earnest counsel. Do not forsake your friend and the friend of your father, and do not go to your brother's house when disaster strikes you. Better a neighbor nearby than a brother far away. Be wise, my son, and bring joy to my heart. Then I can answer anyone who treats me with contempt. The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. Take the garment of one who puts up security for a stranger. Hold it in pledge if he does it for a wayward woman. If a man loudly blesses his neighbor early in the morning, it will be taken as a curse. A quarrelsome wife is like a constant dripping on a rainy day. Restraining her is like restraining the wind or grasping oil with the hand. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. He who tends a fig tree will eat its fruit, and he who looks after his master will be honored. As water reflects a face, so a man's heart reflects the man. Death and destruction are never satisfied. Neither are the eyes of a man. The crucible for silver and the furnace for gold. But man is tested by the praise he receives. Though you grind a fool in a mortar, grinding him like grain with a pestle, you will not remove his folly from him. Be sure you know the condition of your flocks. Give careful attention to your herds. For riches do not endure forever, and a crown is not secure for all generations. When the hay is removed and new growth appears, and the grass from the hills is gathered in, the lambs will provide you with clothing, and the goats with the price of a field. You will have plenty of goat's milk to feed you and your family, and to nourish your servant girls. May God add His blessing to this reading from His holy and inspired word. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. What New Testament book does that remind you of? Studied it last summer right here in this room.
I wasn't here last summer.
Okay. You still need to know this book. New Testament book of James tells us, don't say, tomorrow I'm going to go to this place or that place and do thus and such. You don't know what another day is going to bring forth. Instead, you should say, if God wills, then we will go here or go there. Do not boast about tomorrow. How many times have you encountered somebody who spoke with great confidence about what was going to happen, what they were going to do, what they were going to accomplish? I can't count the number of young guys who have been students at the ranch who assured me they were going to be in the NFL. Okay? They were just sure because they had the desire. And they'd been taught the lie that you can be anything you want to be. You just set your mind to it and work on it, and you can be anything you want to be. To which I respond, ever tried being a giraffe? Okay? There are some things that just aren't going to happen. So are you saying none of us can be in the NFL? No. I actually think we've had a couple of students here who could have made it in the NFL. They didn't, but they could have. But I'm not telling you, don't have dreams, don't have goals, don't have aspirations. I'm saying God's word must be obeyed. And God says don't boast about tomorrow. Don't brag about what you're going to do. Fine to have goals, but don't try and sell us all on how someday you're going to do this, you're going to do this, you're going to do this. Bragging about the future, not okay. Unless you're talking about what God says, what He promises, because that is going to happen. See, I know I'm going to heaven because that's not based on my performance, that's based on Jesus. I know that I'm going to be secure in Him forever because He promised that. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. So I have things I can boast about, but they're not about me. They're about my Lord. He is great and greatly to be praised, and I can talk with confidence about what He's going to do based on what He says, because He always, always, always keeps His promises. Do not boast about tomorrow because you don't know what a day may bring forth. Let another praise you and not your own mouth, someone else and not your own lips. Now, you make the application. I am the greatest. We're number one. We're number one. I mean, we just think that's good old spirit. Well, it's a spirit, all right, but it's not good, just old. Bragging about yourself does not honor the Lord, and it doesn't even make you look good. Let somebody else say, have you met this person? Such a hard worker. Such a conscientious individual. What a capable person. I'm so glad to have someone like this on my team. Let somebody else praise you. Let it come from someone else's lips. That's what God tells us. Don't go around bragging about how good you are.
You know, I'm the fastest one on the team.
Really? Well, thanks for sharing that. Changed my life. Okay? Just don't go there. Let people find out. If you really are great at something, they'll discover it. You don't have to tell them. You don't have to walk around saying, would you like to kiss my ring? Okay? Just don't go there. All right? Do not boast about tomorrow, and do not boast about yourself. Stone is heavy, sand a burden, but provocation by a fool is heavier than both. In other words, there are some people whose behavior is designed to provoke, and it can weigh you down. That's what this is talking about. Provocation by a fool is just, it's exhausting to be around some folks who are just deliberately doing things in order to try and twist your nose. They're just trying to irritate you, just looking for a way. Say, well, so what does this tell us to do? Well, obviously, don't be the fool. Don't be the person who's always irritating others. Don't be an annoyance. Don't be somebody who is constantly irritating, provoking, trying to stir up. Why does a person do things like that? Well, most of the time, it's because they are starved for attention. They are just desperate for somebody to pay attention to them. And so they get the kind of attention that they discovered in childhood works. And that is, if I can't get them to pay attention for doing what's right, I will do what's wrong, because then they have to pay attention to me. Well, they do, but it's such a burden. It's just annoying. It's exhausting. You don't want to be that fool. And that's what it's called. Don't be the one who's always provoking. And you don't have to. You don't have to. Anger is cruel and fury overwhelming, but who can stand before jealousy? I cannot count the number of times when I've been called on to try and mediate a situation, and when we began to dig down and see what was really going on, the reason this person was being mean to this person was because this person was jealous of this person. It's like, meanwhile, this person's like, I don't think they like me. Well, no, they don't, but they feel actually inferior to you, and they're jealous of your situation, so that's why they see me. But she said I was ugly. Well, that's because she feels ugly. Well, she is, but I hadn't thought of it like that. Okay? Well, jealousy is a powerful force. But this kind of jealousy, not okay. It's not a good thing. Folks, please understand, you don't have to just go with whatever you're feeling in the moment. You're going to have all kinds of feelings and thoughts and desires that are not okay. And you're supposed to take every thought captive to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So do not give in to being the fool who's always provoking people or exhibiting cruel anger or fury that's overwhelming, or jealousy that sweeps in and disturbs all kinds of relationships. Well, how do I keep from being jealous? Well, how about getting your eyes off of yourself compared to other people and start looking at the Lord and seeing what He's done for you and recognize that God has good things in store for those who trust and obey. You know, if what you're concerned about is what God wants, seeking to please Him, you don't have to worry about everybody else's opinion. You don't have to compare yourself to other people. See how you stack up compared to them. You just focus on being the person God called you to be. Verse 5, better is open rebuke than hidden love. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. What does that mean? Well, sometimes we need correction. What's the very next verse? Wounds from a friend can be trusted. Sometimes if you love somebody, you have to say something to them in order to correct them, and it hurts. My wife said something to someone on Facebook last week, and the person wrote and said, I know you just said that because you love me. They're right about that. The reason she said what she did is because she loves that person. And she doesn't want to see them doing things that are bad for them and bad for others. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. It is kind and gracious and loving to go ahead and tell someone to their face when they need to be rebuked. It is unkind to just bottle up your love and not express it. When you care about somebody, let them know. It is unkind to just say, well, I assume you know that. You guys are too young, even most of you adults, to remember Fiddler on the Roof. But there's a wonderful, wonderful song in Fiddler on the Roof where Tevye wants to hear from his wife, I love you. And he has a very hard time getting her to say it. You know, do you love me? Do I what?
Do you love me?
And he begins to hear from her the litany of how she shows her love for him. But folks, we need to hear it sometimes too. I told my children that I adopted from Ukraine, I'm going to say something to you. And at this point, I was having to speak through a translator, but they translated it for me, and my kids remember it. To this day, they remember it. I said, I'm going to say something to you so many times in the years to come that when I start to speak, you'll know what I'm going to say. I said, you will hear me say, do you know what? And you'll say, what? And I'll say, I love you. And the reason I'm going to say that is because it's true. I love you. One of our staff here said, I've heard Pastor Wood tell me that he loves me more than I ever heard it from my own father growing up. That's not because I'm great. It's because God's great. And God is love. And if we are living in Him, love is going to flow from us. So don't keep that love hidden. Now, there are various kinds of love. There's an unselfish love that is like God's love. And then there's a very selfish kind of love. I love you if you will do this for me. I love you as long as you always do what I want. That's not what we're talking about. And we're also not talking about just the physical attraction that some people feel toward one another, that some people mistake for love. One of the stupidest songs, thank you for appreciating the humor, one of the stupidest songs of my childhood and youth was, the lyric says it all. But this was a hugely popular song. This was like a number one hit on the charts. Hello, I love you, won't you tell me your name? Hello, I love you, won't you tell me your name? Now, how can you possibly love that person if you don't even know what their name is? Okay? I mean, man, she is so hot. Okay? Well, give her a fan. And quit acting like an idiot, okay? No, I'm her fan. No. You don't know the difference between love and hormones, okay? Well, is it wrong to feel attracted toward other people? No, it's not wrong to feel attracted toward other people. But it is wrong to let those feelings get confused so that you think that's love. Love wants the best for the other person, real love, the kind of love that we all need to receive and that we all need to give. Wants the best for the other person. So let's just suppose that I feel intensely attracted physically to someone who is not my wife. Pastor Wood, please tell me that that couldn't possibly happen. No, I'll tell you that that can happen. Okay? It is natural to feel attraction toward people who are absolutely off limits. That's a natural thing. But guess what? If you respond to that by starting to fantasize about what it would be like to be with that person, that's sin. But if you respond to that by saying, yes, Lord, you have made that person very attractive, and I hope that you provide them with a wonderful mate. Or I hope that their marriage to whoever they're married to, if it's a married person, I hope that they will have a great relationship. But as for me, I'm going to focus my love on the person you have given to me. And I am so grateful that you blessed me with that person. Okay? If you think, young people, that once we become adults and we're married, we no longer face temptation, you're in for a rude awakening when you grow up.
You don't know what it's like to be young.
Yeah, I was never young. I was born at age 50. Okay? I know what it's like. I know that when you're young, by the way, your hormones are incredibly intense. They're just racing through you. And it just seems like the most important thing in life on any given day is finding that one person. Oh, I wonder if she's the one. Oh, I wonder if he's the one. I need to change the voice. Oh, I wonder if he's the one. Okay? But guess what? That's really not the most important thing. The most important thing is focusing on serving the Lord who created us, male and female. God has a great plan for you if you'll get with His program instead of trying to say, thanks, I'll take it from here. No. You need to trust God and do what He says. And God tells us that our focus needs to be on holiness.
Well, that was, you know, that's a far stretch from verse 5 there, hidden love. Okay, I get it. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. So I think what he's saying there is that if somebody wants to kiss you a lot, they're your enemy.
No. No, that's not what it means. When it says wounds from a friend can be trusted, we talked about what that means. When it says, but an enemy multiplies kisses, that means your enemy will often pretend to be your friend. Your enemy will often pretend to be on, oh yeah, I got your back, man. I love the little cartoon that shows the two stick figures. And one of the stick figures is a normal stick figure holding a stick in his hand. Okay? And the other stick figure is the head and the arms and legs and no body in the middle. And this one who's holding the stick says, I got your back, man. Think about it. Okay? I like that. I think that's a funny cartoon. Some of you are going to have to see that drawn out later in order to get it. We see a lot of times when people say, I've got your back, what that means is, and I've got a big target on it. Okay? I got a knife prepared for your back. There are a lot of people who will pretend to be your friend and they're not your friend. There are a lot of people who will lie to you and tell you you're wonderful and, oh, I think you're the greatest and you can always count on me. That's what it's talking about when it says an enemy multiplies kisses. But a person who really cares about you will tell you when you're wrong. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. The wounds of a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. He who is full loathes honey. Now, we've already learned earlier in the book of Proverbs that honey is great. I mean, it's wonderful in moderation. It's okay to have some sweet stuff. God made sweet stuff and gave us taste buds and brain receptors to appreciate it. That's okay. It's not okay to get hooked on sugar like the American diet, where we think, you know, we all need to do whatever we can in order to develop diabetes by age 50. I think sometimes diabetes can be more of a genetic predisposition. Definitely. But if that was all it was, a third of Americans wouldn't be headed into it. Okay? We've got a problem with the American diet, and that is that we are gorging ourselves on sugar. But listen, he who is full loathes honey. Somebody says, here, you want some? It's like, no, thank you. I always try and eat a bunch of protein, vegetables, good healthy stuff, so that when the waiter comes around and says, did you save room for dessert? I can say, no, thank you. Okay? Because I love dessert. But when I've had enough to eat of the good stuff, the healthy stuff, it's like, I really don't want it. I just ate out at a nice restaurant last night where they have magnificent desserts. I know, because I've tasted them. They are so wonderful. But you couldn't have paid me to eat one last night. They'd say, it's free. The owner says he wanted to do this for you. I would have said, can you please put it in a box and then bring a wheelbarrow for me? No, I didn't really. I was able to walk out under my own power by God's grace. But I want you to understand something. If you're full of the good stuff, then you're not going to want honey. Got it? So I need to curb my sweet tooth. Okay, well then eat good stuff. Don't start out by coming in saying, I've just got to have something to get my energy up before I cook. Okay? Oh, good. These. Okay? You ever wanted to do that? I've wanted to do that. I can relate. We used to have what we called Danish wedding cookies. They were covered with white powdered sugar. I mean, I was undone if those were in the cabinet.
How many can I have?
You can have three. They're small. You have three. I'd have three. I wanted a dozen more. It was like there was no, I was, please, please. Don't do that. It is not good for you. The Bible warns against it. Too much honey will make you sick. That's what it says. And here it says that if you are full, you won't want honey. But to the hungry, even what is bitter tastes sweet. When you're hungry, really, really hungry, like most Americans don't get, you'll be happy to eat almost anything. My brother has trained many, many surgeons in the course of his medical career. And in that role, one of the things he tells them is what a great economist once said. You can never really appreciate the difference between having enough and not having enough unless you've been in that situation. And you can never really appreciate the difference between having enough and having more than enough unless you've been in that situation. He tells them you're about to enter a career where you will definitely have more than enough. Realize that no amount of consumption is going to make you feel better. Once you have enough, start looking to give the rest away. Because the fact of the matter is, the people who don't have enough are desperately in need of somebody coming along and just helping them have enough. By God's grace, He has not only modeled that in His own life, but He's impacted a lot of other people who have become very generous in their lives. Because the difference between having enough and having more than enough, I heard one billionaire say, I now have enough money that I can go anywhere in the world, anytime I want, and buy anything I want. So what do I need with more money? I mean, where's the motivation there? I can't possibly spend all the money I've got now. So the only thing left is to look at how to give it. Come down to verse 9, the second half. The pleasantness of one's friend springs from his earnest counsel. In verse 9, it says that perfume and incense bring joy to the heart. Actually, this is a good tip for everybody. There are people out there trying to sell us things we're allergic to. I'm not saying that all perfume and incense is good, but the Bible actually models for us the value of having pleasant aromas around. God even likes pleasant aromas, okay? God likes it. God gave them instructions on how to make a perfume in the Old Testament that was only for use in the worship of God. And if He says, if anybody tries to use some of this for anything else, they're to be executed. It's a capital offense to mess with the Lord's perfume. Would you say that's pretty serious? If the death penalty is what God put in place for people who misused that, it is good. Oak Rise is very nice and pleasant and so forth, but one of the things we remark about concerning Pleasant Hill is that when we go inside there, it always smells nice. We smell the candles burning and all that. I shudder to think what it might be if those candles were suddenly snuffed out and we had to smell reality. But instead, You know, it's a wonderful thing, but let me tell you, those aromas, those scents, those perfumes, they are not as lasting or as valuable as the earnest counsel of one's friend. Okay? Somebody who will tell you the truth. Somebody who will give you honest counsel. Look at verse 11. Be wise, my son, and bring joy to my heart. Then I can answer anyone who treats me with contempt. It has been a joy for Mrs. Wood and me in recent days to go online and see, in the midst of all the insanity in our culture, some of our former students posting things that call people back to the truth of Scripture. That has thrilled my heart. Obviously, we've seen a lot of other postings from people who are no longer listed as our friends on Facebook. But we've seen a bunch of folks who went to school here, who lived here growing up, who are now out there shining as lights in the culture and telling the truth because they still know the difference between right and wrong, and they're standing for truth. That has been a joy. So, be wise and bring joy to my heart. It gives us joy when we see you walking in wisdom. Verse 12, the prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. We've talked about this one earlier in the book of Proverbs, but I will say it to you again. If you see danger, don't be a coward, but if you see danger, adjust your course. Realize, okay, that tree is in the process of falling. I don't want to walk under it. That staircase seems to be wobbly. I don't want to jump up and down on it. Okay? If you see danger, take refuge. Because it is a foolish person who just keeps on going when they see the danger. Verse 14, if a man loudly blesses his neighbor early in the morning, it'll be taken as a curse. It is important to be considerate of other people. Did you know that it is possible to walk in such a way that people will not hear clump, 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 clump? Okay? Learn to walk quietly. My dad taught me how to do that when he was teaching me how to hunt. Because if you walk through the woods making lots of noise, whistling, talking, hey, Dad, look at that! All the animals go, psst. It's like, we didn't see a thing. You know, we were out there for hours and we didn't see anything. But I had a nice talk with my dad. Well, having a nice talk with your dad is wonderful, but if the goal of the trip is hunting, be quiet. Walk quietly. And if people are sleeping, be considerate. And when they first wake up, hey, hey, how are you? Good to see you. Did you have a good night? That will be considered a curse. No, I was just being friendly. No, that's not friendly. That's stupid. Okay? Don't do that. Be considerate of other people and realize not everybody wakes up at the same time. Is that clear? Now, the adults are supposed to make sure you get up in the morning. So if they come around and wake you up, it's really nice if we have the luxury of saying, good morning, it's time to get up now. A little extra breath in the voice. It's time to get up now. Did you have a good night? I hope so. I hope you slept well. But now it's time to get up. If that works and you respond to that, you may get more of that. But if it takes, all right, everybody up, then get up and don't say, man keeps cursing at me. Says it right there in the Bible. He said, God bless you, but I regard it as a curse. Okay? No, just get up out of bed and he won't have to talk that way. Verses 15 and 16, a quarrelsome wife is like a constant dripping on a rainy day. How does that sound, ladies? Does that sound good? Don't be a quarrelsome wife.
But what if I'm married to a guy who's stupid? Well, whose fault is that? Was this an arranged marriage? Were you forced at gunpoint to marry him? What does that say about your judgment? If you married him, maybe he's not the only one who makes mistakes. Golly, Pastor Rudd. Well, just don't be a quarrelsome wife. And fellas, realize that gravity will change looks over time, but personality usually remains about the same. Okay? So you are much better off to look for a person, a woman of noble character, like we'll read about in chapter 31. Because beauty is fleeting. Physical beauty changes. Really does. I mean, it really does. I mean, sorry, ladies, but it's true. Okay? It's not that you're not still beautiful. It's just not the same. You know, most people don't look and say when you're in your 60s, so are you you in college? They, you know, we all age. But let me tell you, if a person has a sweet countenance and disposition, they get more beautiful with time. Okay? It's just better and better because that person, I asked my mom once when I was a little preschooler, I said, Mama, who is the lady who looks like rice? She said, what? I said, the lady who looks like rice. And my mom said, and she gave the name. And I said, yes, ma'am. She laughed. She said, I've never thought of that comparison. But when you said that, her face immediately came to mind. She had so many wrinkles on her pale white face that it looked like a bowl of rice to a little kid. Okay? I mean, that's what I thought. I looked at this lady and she was just kind of covered with wrinkles. And I thought, to a little kid, you know, she looks like rice. But let me tell you something. Everybody loved that lady. Everybody loved that lady. To be around her was a delight. Okay? So you may look like rice when you're in your 80s. All right? But that's okay. That's okay. As long as you're not a quarrelsome, disagreeable person who always finds the negative in every situation. Some people just, you know, it's always, constantly, ugh. Don't be one of those people. Restraining her is like restraining the wind. In other words, you can't do anything with a person like that. Or grasping oil with the hand. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Sparks are likely to fly, but being around other people who take the rough edges off of you is good for you. You'll be sharper if you spend time with people who don't always agree with you. When it says you're not supposed to be with a quarrelsome wife because it's like a constant dripping, that doesn't mean that wives are always supposed to be. Well, I don't know. Whatever you think is fine. No, that's not what the goal is. You're not looking for somebody who's a doormat. You are looking for someone who knows how to agree. Okay? They're capable of saying, well, I think you should decide. Because gentlemen, sometimes we want to be passive like Adam in the garden and not stand up and be a man and make a decision and say, thank you for giving me your input, but I believe this is what God's telling us we need to do. Is that clear? All right. Verse 18 says, he who tends a fig tree will eat its fruit, and he who looks after his master will be honored. What that's saying is, in both cases, you're a servant who reaps a reward. If you look after your master, you'll be honored. Well, what if your master is a jerk and he rips you off and takes credit for your work and all that kind of stuff? God will reward you. God will reward you. You will be rewarded. One way or the other, you will reap what you sow. Look at verse 22. Look at the end of verse 21. A man is tested by the praise he receives. There are a lot of people who do real well until they start to experience some success. And when folks start telling them, hey, you're doing great, they let it go to their heads. Don't do that. Okay? Don't do that. Stay humble. Though you grind a fool in a mortar, verse 22, grinding him like grain with a pestle, you'll not remove his folly from him. there are some folks who refuse to receive correction. And that is tragic. Verses 23 and 24, basically through 27, tells you, and this is written to royalty, members of the royal household, it says, you need to stay close to the land. Okay? During the Great Depression in this country, one of the things that kept people alive was that virtually everybody knew how to grow vegetables. Nearly everybody knew how to get sustenance from the land. If we face another downturn like that, most Americans are going to be completely ill-prepared. Even in the cities, in the urban centers across America, people had goats, people had a cow, people had a little garden plot out back. In Eastern Europe, and in Western Europe for that matter, everybody knows how to garden. The urban dwellers put gardens alongside the train tracks. It's government land that the government lets people have, and they have their little cottage there, and they go out on the weekend, and they stay in the little cottage, and they tend their gardens. People know how to get sustenance from the land. One of the best things you can learn while you're here at Ware's Valley Ranch, besides learning to trust Jesus, is learning how to grow food. Okay? It's one of the smartest things you can do, because we're supposed to know that food doesn't just come from the grocery store. Okay? Somebody's got to grow it. And God has given us the means to do it. But unfortunately, a lot of people don't realize how important it is to do that. The royalty was told by the wisest man on earth, you be sure to take care of your animals. You be sure to take care of your crops. You be sure that you know how to get sustenance from the land. Stay close to the land. Okay? And that is a word from God's word. And I hope you'll take it to heart. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for loving us. And thank you for providing us with what we need. Grant that we would be diligent and that we would not be afraid to get our hands dirty doing good, clean work. I pray that you would help us to trust you and to give thanks always. And we'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.